Welcome to Tea Time with Monica. Are you ready to spill some tea? Hello, loves. Welcome to Tea Time with Monica. Now, today I have a great guest. I followed her on TikTok and knew that I had to bring her on Tea Time to discuss her platform. We will be discussing mental health and hypersexuality. I know you guys have heard of it. There's been a lot of linking to, you know, manic behavior with bipolarism or any anxiety or mental health issues. So Miss Cece and I are going to get into this. Now let me give y'all some tea on my girl. She is a 29-year-old mom who lives in Florida. She has bipolar disorder and suffers from depression and anxiety. You guys know I've talked about my mental health issues with depression and anxiety. So, honey, I think this is my sister with the mental health issues. And so, Miss Cece is a mental health advocate bringing awareness to hypersexuality due to mental disorders and sexual trauma. Her platform is awareness, self-care, and help, relatable content, stories and advice. Welcome, 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 Miss Cece.
Hey everyone. Hi.
Yes, yes. So you know, I get, as audience, y'all know, I get things kicked off with a nice quote. So today's quote is, I was never addicted to one thing. I was addicted to filling a void within myself with things other than love. Now, Miss Cece, how do you think this quote speaks to our conversation today?
It speaks to the conversation because when it comes to the reason why we are having sex is because we're trying to fill a void. We're healing. So instead of reusing something that's more helpful to healing, we're turning to sex. So, you know, it's an avoidance thing. It's an impulse. It's an urge that we have. And, you know, you could kind of compare it to people who do alcohol or do drugs. They're healing, they're filling a void. So for the hypersexuality, because of the mental disorders and because of the sexual trauma, we're healing, we're looking for something. So
we're gonna get into how sex is healing a little later and talk about that energy. But what made you bring this platform to social media? Because this is something, you know, people don't even really want to discuss, don't even want to open up about.
You're right. To be honest, I was at my lowest point, the lowest I've ever could have been. And I couldn't turn to anybody. And I said, you know what? Let me put myself out there and see if anybody resonate with it. I was taking time to kind of learn. Like, I realized there was a pattern for me. And I'm like, I have to learn something. I have to pick up on my disorder and everything. So I said, let me just post it on TikTok. It was a whim. I'm not even gonna lie. I just said, let me put it out there. I didn't have anything behind it but my stories and how I feel. And I realized that there was so many that was out there. And with the wisdom that I had, I said, let's just get it jiggy with it.
I know that's right. Now, out in the audience, I'm gonna have Miss Cece give you her information on how you can follow her a little later. But like I said, I discovered you like on the For You page of TikTok, and I was like, yeah, she talking about something real right here. This is real shit. Like, people don't know if you have those manic moments, like we were discussing prior to, you know, the conversation about, yeah, like I'm stressed and I'm frustrated or I'm sad. I want something, you know, like you said, healing. I want something to soothe that.
Yes.
You know, that's what we do. So did you go to therapy for your diagnosis, or how did you, you know, learn about your disorder and the manic behaviors?
I was first diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was 14 years old. So, and then I was re-diagnosed again at 28 when I had another manic episode. So I knew it was bipolar disorder. I knew I had that. So at one, I didn't go to therapy or anything. I just was like, the situations I was in, it involved me having sex. Like, it involved with me having these situations.
It was that sex therapy.
Yes,
it was sex therapy. Was that Robin Thicke's sex therapy?
I Googled, right?
Google be your teacher, don't it?
Disorder, and I looked at some of the symptoms. I was like, hypersexual. And I was like, wait a minute. I know what this is, because I'm like, I couldn't remember me being turned on. I was just stressed and I just wanted a, you know, a release.
A quick fix.
I couldn't understand why sex was always on my mind.
Right. You wanted that quick fix, huh?
Right. I was concerned. And to be honest with you, I just took my life experiences. I took that information and I put it together and I said, wow, this is what's really going on. And I'm just explaining what they put in the books. I'm just explaining it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on one of your TikToks, you tell your story about when you were 14 years old. How hard was that? And maybe before you say how hard it was, kind of, if you don't mind sharing with the audience about a little snippet of what happened and how you got to a place to open up with that publicly.
When it came to telling my story, to be honest with you, the week before I was even recording it, nobody knew. That was a secret that I kept for 15 years.
And many people do keep that a secret because I feel like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like, you know, it's your choice of who you share that with. And no one should pressure you to share that publicly or just with this therapist or just pray about it. It's your choice.
Right.
Yeah.
And that I dug that so deep. But I remember when I used to talk about just the mental health of it. And I realized sexual trauma is one too, because some people don't have a mental disorder. They've experienced sexual trauma.
Right.
So I said, for me to connect with you guys, let me tell you my story. I'm not just only have a mental disorder. I've been through sexual trauma too. And it determined what type of hypersexual I became. So it was very hard. I cried because as I was recording, I didn't realize that I haven't healed from that. I haven't, because I dug that down for 14 years so deep. It was so deep that I'm telling you, I had the worst manic episode that week trying to record it. Because I'm healing and recording at the same time. So it was really hard. My story was, I was 14 years old and I went to meet up with a 17-year-old boy. His uncle was in the room.
It's okay if you cry. We can cry here. We can cuss here. We do what we need to do here. And if, like I said, if you're comfortable sharing, you know, a snippet or the full thing, do what's comfortable for you, because I'm not trying to pressure you. But, you know, since I saw it, I was like, you know, maybe she's okay still sharing it. So do what you need to
do. Yes, I am. I am. And let me tell you something. Even though I always tell people, it's okay to talk about it. The more I talk about it, the better I'll be able to handle it when I go ahead and express it more, because I don't talk about it. So I was meeting up with the 17-year-old boy, and all I can remember is just the energy in the room. I don't know if this was his uncle. I just assume it's his uncle. It's an older man. All I can remember is him getting a little aggressive and trying to take my pants off. And I'm not gonna lie, I froze. He's bigger, he's athletic. The uncle is a big, large man. At this point, what can I do?
Yeah, it's a violation of everything that's sacred about you. Anyone who has dealt with sexual trauma or any type, it's a violation of what's sacred to you. Whether you're a young girl, young boy, boys, because young boys get raped and deal with sexual trauma as well.
Yes.
It's not only young girls, but no matter who you are, you know, it's violating the most intimate, sacred part of you. It's like stealing your soul.
And that's exactly how I felt. Because as I said in my story, I still had my shirt on. I had my eyes closed. You don't know me from a can of paint. You don't need anything from me to be able to do what you need to do. And the fact that the man kept coming in, I felt like I feel like that man was teaching that young boy how to be a man the wrong way. I felt like I was somebody's practice. And you know, as a big girl, we're experiments.
Mm.
I'm 14 years old and I realized how I was an experiment. I was something for somebody to try to for your entryway into manhood. And like I said, I peed on myself because I feel like if I didn't pee on myself. I don't know where I heard it from. If you in a situation of whatever they say, just pee on yourself or whatever.
Was that maybe part of like, did you have like sex education in school or go to some out of school program and they were teaching you how to? Because that's when I heard it, I was like, that must sound like a tactic that you learn in a program or at school when they're teaching you how to protect yourself. I've never heard of somebody saying that they had that type of education when it came to sex education. All I've heard is the scare tactics of use a condom or else you get in every damn thing. You know, you get pregnant or one of them diseases.
I think this woman was she was more in tune with protecting yourself. Like, I think she's experienced something for her to let us know because it was so random. I think it was in sexual education. So when I peed on myself, that instantly disgusted him, frustrated him or whatever. And I feel like it took me out of that situation. I remember somebody asked me on my TikTok and I haven't even responded back to it yet. They said, if you're given another chance, would you fight? Would you have told somebody? If I was given another chance, I would not fight because I feel like I did what I had to do to see another day. I'm 14 years old. It's too.
Yeah, because you like you said, you were scared in that situation. You didn't know if you were gonna die or not. It's not always, consensual. You're doing it because you're like, oh crap, how am I gonna get out of this if I don't just lay here and just, and then you're so broken.
Because I felt nothing. Like when I say nothing, I've never felt so empty in my life. And to be honest with you, that I feel like that's why majority of my sexual encounters were detached and empty and I didn't feel nothing. I don't know what real intimacy is. I've never looked in somebody's eyes because I close my eyes during sex. I've never looked at somebody in their eyes during sex. It damaged me.
Oh, so how over the years, once you discovered what this was, how are you trying to reconnect to yourself now to deal with empathy, intimacy? Because it seems like you said, you were having a lot of empty sex. And trust me, y'all, I know what that is. Trust me. Like I said, I deal with anxiety and depression. And I know sex can be that stress reliever. Sex can be that stress reliever. You stressed out, you bored, you're sad, you're mad, you're angry. And you'll be like, I need my mood changed. And then you get it in. And you'll be like, exactly. Okay. But if there's no intimacy connected to it, you just keep having empty sex. And it's because you're just trying to get that high, that dopamine, that
yes, chemical that dopamine.
Dopamine.
I'm trying to tell them about that dopamine.
it's sex is a drug. People don't understand. Sex can be beautiful, but sex can also be not so beautiful.
Exactly.
So so where are you on healing with that?
I went celibate. My version of celibacy, because for some people they're able to, some people say with celibacy you can't touch yourself or whatever. I'm not having sex with nobody else. Do I masturbate? Yes, but I'm healing. That's my healing journey, taking sex out of the equation, breaking those soul ties that I have contracted within the years, connecting with God. I go to the gym, I keep myself busy, and I keep myself focused to know what my goals, what I want to do next. So celibacy have definitely been working for me because I don't want to only just stop having sex. I want to be better. I want to be able to connect and love somebody and properly.
Yes.
But and healing means loving somebody properly.
Yeah, but in all of that, it's because I said, we was having this conversation before. Let me tell you, when we had that shutdown, I was going through my own, that same version of celibacy. And I did it for a year and a half, And it takes a lot out of you because there are days that you be like, I got folk I could call.
want to call you up and get
now
it right.
I will say COVID sat my ass down because this was happening during COVID. And it was like, well, white man, I don't know what this person is, but COVID helped me a little bit with this woman was telling me.
Thank God for COVID sometimes. COVID is a blessing in disguise for some people. People don't even understand that.
Right. It done sat my tail down. I done went through the therapy. Now, I did do therapy myself with a therapist, but this same form of celibacy, like celibate from the D, but I gotta reconnect with me still.
Right.
You know, so that's what I wanna know. Is the masturbation helping you reconnect with yourself in some?
Yes, it helps me reconnect and it helps me put me in check.
Okay.
Because instead of me saying, oh, I'm gonna sleep with somebody, let me get that out the way and see if I still want that person. And usually once you get that out the way, you don't need it no more. Okay, I just needed a release. So I don't need this person. I don't need to go ahead and do this. So mm-hmm. it definitely checks me and it makes me keep in tune with myself. Mm-hmm. So yes.
Now you say you're praying about it and you're connecting with God. How are you doing it in a spiritual sense as well?
Okay. So I know what my heart desire. I know what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And all God wants you to do is give up something for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how I interpret it, I said, you know what, God, I give you my body. I'm not going to give it to nobody else. I'm going to do stuff the right way. I'm going to keep myself cleansed because I don't want to open up my body to nobody that I do not consider myself marrying.
Mm.
That's my deal to you, because God knows how sex is a problem for me. And God's like, look, listen, I'm going to help you, but I need something from you too.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave that up. So I pray. Anytime I feel like I'm going to call somebody up or do something, I pray and I do it. And to be honest with you, I'm so much more at peace.
Mm-hmm.
My blessings are coming. I'm doing, like, how can I not be blessed? Like, how can I not to be able to help people and stuff? Like, that's my heart desire. So for me, it's that fair exchange. God's helping me and I'm helping him.
Yeah. Like I said, I went through the same thing. I did, you know, a different flip side. I was raised Catholic, but my therapist, you know, she practices other forms of spirituality and faith with Lukumi. So she sent me to one of her spirit sisters. I had the waist beads with the crystals on it, with the carnelian and the citrine for cleansing. And they soaked in a spiritual bath. And then I took a spiritual bath with that same bath. And so I do the spirituality stuff and the cleansing, but I do also understand the prayer, because there are mornings I have to get up, I pray, I burn my Palo Santo, I have to do that. And I've noticed that even though I've went back to having sex with, you know, someone, I have way less sex than I did prior to. Yeah, prior to, you know, me having therapy and going through all that, I have way less sex, way less. It's like a whole like three, I'm like, why, man? Did I lose a part of me? But then it's like, no, this just is a new me.
Because you're healing. Sex is something that we use for it's a healing method. Mm-hmm. Avoidance, all of that. And when you're at peace and you're good and you find other ways, you don't need, that urge isn't, I bet you're enjoying sex more. I bet it's not just an empty or a stress.
That
I call
part
it a stress nut.
It's
you're not having
empty.
A stress nut, you're having a row of release.
Now, I do have a question for you. Dealing with sexual trauma, and I've heard this before, it's part of the having sex with the manic behaviors is like taking back your power. When you feel powerless, because when you feel stress, mm-hmm. when you feel, because that was what it was for me. When I'm stressed or I feel down, it was like, I know this thing. This thing do
right.
So it was like a power, you know, it's like almost like I'm taking back my power. I'm relieving my stress. I feel like me now. Is
exactly.
that what
it's
happened
a power
with
boost.
You?
Mm-hmm. It's a power boost. Yes,
it is.
It's definitely a power boost.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know, for some people, you know how they go to sleep or they feel, but I feel energized after.
Like you ready to clean the whole house from top to bottom. Like, all right, thanks. What's next?
Right, like what's going on? I'm energized now. I had my coffee. But yeah, for some, sometimes yes, it's the power. You want to take back that Yes, for some it's power. Mm-hmm. And like I said, for some it's avoidance.
Yeah.
Boredom.
Stress. Now, hold on. You talked about that being bored and you had to call. Ma'am, I told you I done been in this TikTok. Let's talk about this whole piece you talked about of when sex out of boredom and he sent you that sage.
Oh, baby.
Let's talk about it.
I was in between people. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go back to the old. So I said I needed something new in my life. I was tired of the old. Mm-hmm. And I was bored. I was streaming at a point. I was streaming on a website. That's how you know. And I remember I asked God, I said, I just want something toxic.
You prayed to God and asked for something toxic. You know they say be careful what you pray for.
I wanted something exciting and honey, let me tell you. Ooh. And remember, I had lost my father. So now I'm looking for my father in these men. So he definitely sent me an older man too. This man was 41 years old. He had 11 kids, 8 baby mothers.
Well, did you find out why he had all them daggone kids, didn't you?
I saw all the red flags.
Oh, okay.
But all I seen was the personality, the pizzazz, and the good, you know, everything. I've seen the toxicity that he was flashy, he was shiny. Mm-hmm. It was everything appealing. And honey, me not loving myself and being on a manic episode, and I wish I never asked for it, because he was he was very manipulative. Mm. Very manipulative. Say one thing, ain't showing no actions. I've been stood up by this man. I've been everything. This man has broke me down to a point where, like, I went through a manic episode. He put me in a manic state on the day of my birthday, honey. The day of my birthday put me in a manic state. Mm. And I kept going back to it because the sex is good, you know.
It was filling that void. Right. That void you were missing.
That void. That he was giving me the bare minimum, that conversation, that sweet talking, and that sweet poke, okay? That's what I call poke is, you know, like eggplant. I call it poke. Mm-hmm. So he gave me that, and it clouded my better judgment. And because I was bored, I could have been in school. I could have been doing anything else. Instead of finding a hobby, I found a person. I was looking for a consistent sex partner. I wanted a consistent sex partner. I needed my back blown now. I'm sorry.
Lord, and the Lord gave it to you. God, Lord said you be careful what you ask for next time, because you said you asked for toxic and everything else.
Hey, and honey, you thought I would have learned my lesson with that one, right? It was the next situation after that. It is just, and even in that, he wasn't even the only man that I was dealing with at that point, because I was in such a manic phase. I want to tell people who are bipolar or ADHD and have episodes, that whole phase that you speak of, that's your manic phase. You're going through it. You're stressed out. Your mind is going out. You're not sleeping. Your mind is going, and you're trying to avoid something. You're trying to keep yourself busy because your mind won't shut down, and sex is the only thing. Your whole phase is your manic episode, because right now I'm going through a manic episode and all I want to do is have sex.
Yeah.
So, boredom.
Now, what do you think is, like, how do you, because there's a fine line between the hypersexuality and the manic episode and then owning your sexuality and knowing the power of it, but using it strategically, I guess, you know, like knowing that, because even after, like, for myself personally, and you know, sometimes, y'all know, audience, I get personal here sometimes. But for myself, like, after going through that year of, you know, a similar type of celibacy that you're going through, with not having any B from anybody else, but, you know, some from time to time masturbating. And it took me a while, even though once I stopped having sex, like, it took me some months to even masturbate. Like, I didn't even want to touch me anything. I didn't want any, I just felt disgusted, you know, because I was like, I'm just out here, you know, dealing with men, having sex here, you know, and it just wasn't, nothing was popping. I didn't want any of it, but then, you know, it became juicy. I wanted it back again. But after that, like, going through all, like, the cleansing baths and the waist beads and the therapy and the spiritual practices, and, you know, I decided when I went back and I started noticing that one, and you've talked about this, watching that porn like it's Netflix. I no longer needed that. I no longer needed porn to get me there. I didn't. I could just turn off. I could just have music on or just set the mood in any way that I want to, where I did not need to look at something else to get me riled, just be watching it, to be watching it. Although, you know, at porn every once, it can be healthy here and there, right, to find out new things. But when it becomes unhealthy, that's when, you know, you're dealing with that. But I felt sexier. And I always knew, even though prior to my celibacy, like, I always knew that sex had power and that energy made me feel more powerful. Like, even with me, I love wearing lingerie. If anybody looks at my social media, I got plenty of pictures in the boudoir, okay? Yes. In the boudoir.
And you look good, baby.
Thank you. You know, I have no problem with that. Because one thing I always tell people, like, when I feel sexy, no matter what I have on or no matter what I'm doing, I feel more powerful. I feel more engaged. I feel more like me. I feel like this divine feminine woman. So I know there's a fine line, and I just want to know what you think. And I know it took me a long time to get to that point, but no. I just want to know what you think about how you deal with that fine line of people saying, well, you were hypersexual. You've had the celibate, but you're still sexual. But it's like, I'm sexual in a different way. I'm in a different mindset. How are you feeling about that?
So what you speak of is a healed hypersexual, mm-hmm, right? Because now I'm going to tap into my ego. When you go that long without it, mm-hmm, you know, nobody has access to you no more because you're loving yourself more. When celibacy means you're trying to love yourself more, I feel. You're just getting more in tune with yourself. So it's this energy of knowing that you have more requirements when it comes to your sex, I feel. Mm. You're more in tune, you're more empowered because now you have control of your sexuality now. So it's definitely, the fine line is, you have sex when you want, you don't let it control you. Mm-hmm. And when you're a hypersexual who's unhealed, it's just, like I said, it's an impulse. You're not confident in it because you're using it because you're scared. And I feel like now that we know why we're hypersexuals and you want to know how you want to use it, you're more sexy and confident in it. You're more mm-hmm. sexual. You're more open with it. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference for me. It's just knowing yourself more. It's more confidence. It's more sexy. You got control over it. You know, nobody can, you know what I'm saying? You have control of it and you know it's good. So.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was just talking to a friend about this and how it's like, I've been told, like, I walk and I'm dripping sex appeal. And sometimes it still bothers me though, because it's like, it's the first thing guys see is sex. And one time somebody was like, well, if that's all you present, I can't help the way this body looks. I can't help my aura. This is me. And I can stand firm in it now and not feel like I'm being taken advantage of. Because just like you said, now I am determining what can enter here.
Yes.
Enter my space, whether it is physically, you know, mentally, spiritually, any type of energy, I can control that better now because I understand me. Are you feeling that too with this?
I'm feeling it.
Yes.
Because that's exactly how I feel. Like, I control it. And you know what? And when you're not, and I feel like they see it too. Mm-hmm. They see that you've controlled it. They see you got more confidence. They see they know, you know what who you are. So they want to tap into that. And that, them not, and I feel like them knowing they don't have access to it easy, it attracts them even more. Mm-hmm. Because you're confident and you know you have it. Yeah. So that's why I tell people, take that time to heal. That celibacy journey will get you there. Yeah. You got to heal.
Yeah, you take time to like get to know yourself and understand your own power and how to walk firmly in it and just be like, no, this is me. Yes, I can dress sexy. I can be sexy by myself. I can be sexy out. I can just not be sexy. But you're still gonna see that on me because I walk firmly in it and I know that's my power.
Exactly. And that's what I want women to take control of, our hypersexuality. Like, that's what my platform is really about, to take control, self tips, like all of that. I don't want people to feel lonely. I don't want you to feel like you're a hoe. I don't want to make you feel like anything. This sexual energy is powerful. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. It has the will to heal, hurt, all of that. And right now, if you don't have control of it, you're hurting yourself and other people.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And when you don't love yourself, baby, let me tell you something. You rush into sex and people don't understand you're contracting STDs, abortions, soul ties and stuff because you're so eager. You're not loving yourself to know like, hey, you know, you want it so bad. You're not checking to see if you're using a condom or if the person is clean or not or whatever the case, because you're impulsing into it. But now that you know you are hypersexual, you're tired of going through that stuff. Oh, no, baby. I need a little bit more from you.
Mm-hmm. I require more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong.
I get a lot of it.
So now you gotta... Yes, but don't get me wrong. Now answer this one thing for me. When you look back at those hypersexual moments, you be like, but I had fun.
I ain't gonna cap.
No cap.
I ain't gonna cap.
Yeah. You be like, you know what? I ain't there no more, but that shit was fun.
But I ain't gonna cap. To know you got a little roster. To know you could call whoever you needed to call, to know that you had people do what you needed to do for you. I've never really had to stress about where I was getting it from. My only stress was who was gonna get it.
Right, it's like, wait a minute, what flavor I want today? He was like, what flavor?
I ain't gonna cap. I had my
Had your fun now.
I had a little fun.
When you think back on, look, that's what gets you there when you masturbate. You think about the past.
Girl! I had phases too, baby. Ooh.
See, there you go. Then you're like, wait a minute.
Wait, now, I've had some, maybe you just made me have a whole flashback right just now. I am disgusted.
Disgusted and happy at this.
I'm disgustedly proud. I did what I had to do.
That's supposed to be my thing. Look, honey, I don't do it no more, but I'm disgustedly proud of what I have done in my lifetime with that, honey.
I have lived.
I have lived. I know me. Now I can just be like, I do what I want to do when I want to do it. Now I don't know about you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Flip's hair. Did you see that?
I'm glad you saw that. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so hold on. Let's talk about some of your struggles and triumphs, because there was one TikTok that I was like, she speaks my life. Shaving and not shaving. So I did do a wax. Whoa, I went to go get that.
I need to get a wax. Well, I'm telling you, the day I have sex again, I'm waxing. He deserves
ma'am.
It.
Okay, so when I watched that episode about like not shaving and shaving, I'm like, oh my gosh, she knows my life. Because the first time I got a wax, I was still in my no sex, right? And I got that wax. And let me tell you, after you wax and you do that exfoliation, and then you like trying to be healthy because you're getting your life right. You're like, oh, let me try. On all cylinders, honey. Everything is pumping. Blood is like, Kitty is feeling pretty, and Kitty is like,
she deserves it.
Miss Lola, because that's what I call her, Miss Lola. Miss Lola is over here talking about some, excuse me, hello, I now need a visitor. Can I come out and play? You know, she's doing all the praying. She's a big girl.
Shaving, I feel like it's an empowering thing too. I don't care what nobody say. When you shave that thing clean, you feel immaculate, okay? So I went months without, you know, shaving. I said, you know what? I ain't getting none. Let me not even tempt myself, because baby, when I'm ovulating and clean, she finna go swing. You know, I'm finna slide. So it was getting a little out of hand.
When the kitty's pretty, the kitty wanna show her face.
Right, I had no face. Like, it was just a lot. So I was like, okay, let me just go ahead. I felt like I needed to just, I try to make myself unappealing. I didn't shave my armpits, nothing. I was like, you know what, bump it. I'm not trying to be sexy to people. Baby, I went and I nared it off, and immediately, I don't know if it was the air that hit it while I was air drying,
because that'd be the hit.
And remember, I just got off of my period. I cleaned her up.
So you asked for this. You asked for it, didn't you?
Challenge myself.
Oh, okay, okay. That's what you want to call myself. It. Okay, ma'am.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling it now, because that was some dumb shit that I did. Now I want to say I'm challenging you.
We accomplished the challenge, right?
Hey, 9 months strong still. Baby. And then you know what? I feel like God, it was either God testing me or the devil wanted to play with me, because one of my old flings hit me up too.
Oh, Lord. That was that test from God. The devil's like, let me step in. And God was like, let me see what she going to do.
Yes. So when you're clean, I don't care what nobody said. When you clean and you know she's good and she's juicy and she's clean and all that, you wanna show her off a little bit. I don't care what nobody's talking about. Some women just wanna show. I wanted to show it off. Sometimes when she gets wiped off, hey, all fair game at this point. So, baby, the whole alert called. It was a struggle, but I made it through.
You made it through.
And if you're not strong enough, leave her hairy. It's okay. Ain't nobody gonna be down there. You ain't trying to have nobody down there in the first place. It's okay.
Won't try that challenge. She said, Father God, I don't know if I can try that challenge.
Let's just say I haven't shaved her since. And you know Valentine's Day coming up, right? I cannot wait to drop my journey on Valentine's Day too. But baby.
Trust me, when you get that first wax, you're going to understand what I mean. When you wax and then they tell you, well, first of all, so the wax lady be like, don't go have sex the same day you get your wax, because you don't want nothing, you know, because you just, everything is fresh and child. Then they tell you exfoliate, because you know that helping the ingrown hairs. When you go exfoliate after that wax and that first window air hit, ooh, make sure whoever you with is right there. Oh, you got a nice toy. You ready to do your masturbation session? Because honey, let me tell you, on all cylinders. Hello, how you doing? I'm here. Ooh. Wait a minute.
Does she tingle?
Ma'am. Get the wax, and you will understand.
Monica.
That's the tea I'm going to give you. Get the wax.
Monica, don't have me out here acting like no fool.
Wait, and keep with your motto of waiting until you're ready to go back to sex, and you know you're firm in it, and who you will be. Then you're not going and make sure you're not on a manic episode that day. I'm trying to tell you. Whew. I'm trying to tell.
I'm gonna say that special. That's gonna be the special day, because baby, who?
Baby, that honey, that wax. Excuse me. Hello. How are you? Big Purr over here. That's
Big Purr
over here.
Big Purr.
Have you watched Big Mouth on Netflix? This, you know how they had a little talk with you? You want to have a bumble bio. You know, that's how you.
Girl, you funny.
That's all the time. My eyes are watering. Oh, God. Yeah, that's how you going to be. Trust me.
Ooh. Well, thank you for the tip.
Honey, that's the tea I'm gonna give you and every woman out there listening today. When you get that wax, it's the truth. You don't like it now. Don't feel good while you're going through it. Okay?
She said, "Look, trust the process. Is anything easy through the process?
No, honey. I tell people, beauty is pain.
Exactly.
It is not.
Growth is all of that. You're gonna go through it.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have to accept that.
Yes, but then you also talk about like a triumph, even though that was a triumph as well, but when you were stressed and then you went to the gym and that, because you know what I've learned from my therapist, whatever energy you need, like if it's negative, you need to move that. And so, yes. You know, before it was the hypersexuality, you were moving the energy you had in you from the stress, the anger, the boredom, whatever. You were moving that energy through sex. But then you talk about how you've moved that energy through working out and losing weight. So let's talk about that.
Yes. Well, I'm currently on a weight loss journey. I have lost over 100 pounds.
Amen. Hold on. Let's stop and give rounds of applause. Yes.
Yes. So let's be real. a weight loss journey is a mental thing as well, to start that mentally. So let's be real. I have anxiety. I'm an overthinker. I'm bipolar. My mind is already not right. So working out is, it can be stressful to know you have a goal, but it also releases it. Now, this particular day, I don't know what it was, but the devil was strong this morning. Mm-hmm. Every single thing that can hit me at once that morning. And I felt so overwhelmed, so stressed. I was crying. I was smoking. It wasn't working. Like, I just instantly, the urge to have sex was so strong. I wanted to give up. I was so mad at everything that was going on. I just wanted to give up, like, put my face in balls for real. And I said, bump it. I put on my clothes. I go to the gym and I do weightlifting. Weightlifting is that, I don't know what it is, that energy of pulling up them weights. It's that strength. It's an energy, because you gotta tap into it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tap in all of that energy into the gym. Mm-hmm. Like, all of it. And I listen to my music, whatever meditation music I wanna listen to, and I keep going and going and going until I tire myself out. Mm-hmm. Then I came and I listened to my music, I eat whatever, and I go to sleep and I pray on it. Like, sometimes if I'm up late at night because I have insomnia too, mm-hmm. I just do a workout. Instead of me looking for somebody to be up under, I go work out.
You know what? It's funny. My sister laughs at me because my wind down sometimes when my mind is everywhere is either, sometimes I read, and I'm more into reading now than I ever was. And that's because my therapist kindly gave me a library of books to read going through therapy. But I color. I get creative. My mind. So, you know, as an influencer, sometimes I'm on Pinterest late at night thinking of different concepts or looking at quotes for a podcast or something like that. I stay on a Pinterest. I window shop. But now I color. I did art therapy as I was going through therapy, you know, a year or so ago. And that helped me learn, like, using my hands and being creative would help me wind down. So, like, even last night before this conversation, I was up, I got a new coloring book for the new year, got some new color pencils, and I colored.
Right.
My mind was, you know, in my
everywhere.
Everywhere, but, like, I sat down and I was like, I want to color this pretty picture. And when I was done, I was so happy with the accomplishment. I got that fulfillment that needed to be fulfilled that I would just be like, oh, I'm going to sex. You know, it was filled in a different way.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And let me tell you something. I had to work out before I even came on here today. I had to work out too because I was stressed. And I'm like, look, listen, it really helps whether you put it into a hobby, workout, art, school. You just got to find some other way to release that energy. Like, weightlifting feels amazing. Like I said, breathe in through the pussy, breathe out. Them squats, really hot in the coochie.
She said you had the coochie, go do some squats.
Your coochie hot, do some squats. Because
hey. Look, you are dropping so many, like, little things. Look, your coochie hot, go do some, baby, go do some squats. Right. Honey. Don't call that boy. Go. Get your little kettlebell or something in the house.
It puts me to bed.
Yeah. Working out will put you to bed just like Zach can. You know, get your little kettlebell in your house and get pussy hot. You know, you feeling it? Just be like, hold on, let me just do some squats. I don't need to
do one of these. Just keep going. Keep going.
I don't need one of them toxic situations right now. Let me just do some squats.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, I occasionally get my medicine.
Yeah, we know it. Some people, you know, ashwagandha, but you know what's hard? I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. When you are dealing with celibacy and you decide, I'm going to go healthy, I'm going to get the sea moss, I'm going to get the ashwagandha, all that stuff will increase your libido and want make you beat yourself up and be like, "What? Why did I do this? Why? Because exactly. I went through, but I still take... I will say ashwagandha does relax me. The sea moss helps. But all of that will increase your libido real quick where you got to find some. The other thing I do is I dance. That dancing. Oh,
yes.
That dancing, that good twerk situation right there.
Get your knees right. I love dance. That's a part of a workout too, dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Like I said, when you know your sexuality, you know it's the energy, and you will move that energy around in your body. When you're twerking, when you're winding, feel your energy in your pelvic bone release that energy that you're feeling.
And you still afterwards feel like this divine, sexual, feminine, powerful woman, even after you're doing, especially like you said, twerking, belly dance, any type of like slow wind and all that. You still, it's a celebration of me and my body and this energy that I have.
Yes.
But I'm not releasing in a way that is harmful to me or someone else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So powerful. So lastly, before we end, you know, one other thing I want to talk about before we give people your information is, you realized that you're always going to have these mental health issues and be hypersexual. And you said that took you for a loop. So discuss how you got through that and figured out how that it's not going to be controlling to you anymore.
When I lost over 100 pounds within a half a year.
Hmm.
When I turned down temptations,
mm-hmm.
I realized I will get through this. It's not going to be hard. Now, I just know when it comes to a loved one, the person I'm going to be with, they're going to know exactly what they're getting into. So when I find my person, it's not going to be a struggle to be a hypersexual because I'm still going to enjoy and release it right then and there. But when I'm not there, I know there's other ways rather than medication. I know I can maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You're going to have it forever. But do not let that control you. Please don't.
Yeah. Now, will you ever do traditional therapy, or you're just okay?
When I'm able to get to a point where I can definitely afford it, I would love.
Have you tried any of the apps, though? I think there's some apps you can go on and do some, at least like 6 sessions for free.
No, I haven't.
I think there are some.
I've tried some apps, but they do like little, like what I need for the type of therapy that I was looking for and stuff. I couldn't find no affordable one. And then the ones that I tried, I wasn't connecting with the
therapist. Well, you know, I would say one thing, this is the advice that I'll give you, being someone who's been through therapy. And like I said, this is like my 4th or 5th therapist. One thing I learned, and I don't think I necessarily did this, but I think this is what happened. This is where it comes with the spirituality. I heard somebody say, when you're praying to God and your ancestors, ask them to guide you to the right person when you're ready, when you're ready for that, because that will help and aid you. Because I knew what type of therapist I want. And so I guess in sense of me knowing, you know, spirit led me to the type of therapist that I have now, who does the traditional and the spirituality. And it's worked out for the best for me. Like I said, I love her dearly. You know, I've shared with everybody that my father passed recently in October. And when the day that he passed, I texted her that night. She texted me right back the next morning. She said, if you need to come back to therapy, let me know. And I said, yes, I want to. And she gave me her next available. And I've been in grief therapy since. So, and I will admit, though, sometimes having to release that energy of not having my father around and being angry when I was, you know, going through the different stages of grief, being angry, being depressed, sometimes I would want to release that way. And I haven't done that necessarily because God and the spirit is protecting me, so it's my dad, you know, in the sense of saying, maybe that's not what you need right now. You need to go do this. And one of the biggest things was getting back to this. You are my first interview coming back to my podcast. So I am so happy. That was one thing my therapist went through with me was, you need to get back to you. You need to get busy doing what your goals are. And getting back to my podcast is one of the things that I had to do.
And I feel honored because you're my first interview, my first.
We popped each other's cherries in a sense.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. You definitely warmed my heart. You made it easy. And I know that, like when you said, ask God to guide you, I've been asking God to guide me in everything that I do. And I'm glad he led me to.
Yeah.
And I was definitely nervous about this interview, but you, I see so much, like we have so much in common, and you're such a sweetheart.
Thank you.
I'm glad that I can be your first interview, and I'm glad that you could be my first.
Yes, this is, I took a long break unexpectedly because of what happened. And I was like, I got to get back to it. And when I reached out to you, I knew, I was like, this is going to be the first one, because I knew this was a topic that needed to be discussed on this platform. And I'm just so happy that you were willing to come on, share your story, share your goods and your bads, your indifference with us, and you know what you're going through in this process. We're gonna have to circle back to you though sooner or later to see where you are.
Yes, we're gonna have
to bring you back. But in the meantime, please, please, please give my audience information on how they can follow you, and you know, have you sharing your stories, have your live talks with you, all that good stuff.
Yes, you guys can find me on TikTok. It is Ms. CC308, MZCICI308, and Instagram, Ms.CC_, MZ.CICI with the underscore bar. You can find my content and everything on there. My platform is growing, so you guys are on a journey with me. So we're on a journey, and I hope y'all follow me to this finished product.
Yes. Thank you again so much, Miss CC, for coming on with Tea Time with Monica. And loves, thank you so much for listening. We are back with interviews. I hope you love this. If you have any questions, please let me know. If you want to reach out about anything, let me know. I love you. Bye, loves.
You've been listening to Tea Time with Monica. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast medium. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And follow me on social media at Monica_TheCurvyDiva, spelled M-O-N-I-C-A _THEKURVYDIVA, and at Tea Time with Monica.